Here's what you missed before this week's Bible reading. From last week's reading, if you were here last week for church, you didn't miss this part, but it's a reminder of what you don't remember since it was last week. Moses was up on the mountain doing the hanging out with God thing. The people wondered if he was ever going to come back, and they made a golden calf idol. God was really angry and was going to bring evil upon them. Moses said, "Stop! Don't! Please change your mind to God." And God changed his mind. It's the crux of last week's reading. And then in between last week's reading and this week's reading, there's some stuff in the Bible which you were probably paying attention to, right, during the reading. Like, oh, look it, there's stuff that we missed here. So Moses came down from the mountain and saw what was happening firsthand. And he dropped the Ten Commandments and broke them. So that whole thing from the History of the World, Part 1, where he had 15 and dropped one, there's got some biblical basis, except Moses dropped all of them. He didn't have 15, he had 10. And Aaron said, I don't know what happened. I just put all the gold in the fire and this calf came out. Really, that's pretty much what he said. And then Moses was really angry and got 3,000 of the people to fight and kill each other. That's in there too. Then God told Moses that the people would be punished, and God sent a plague to the people. And then God said he would help the children of the people to make it to the promised land, but not them. They were too stubborn and rebellious. And the people were sorry. That's in between. And then there's this one little verse just before this morning's reading starts. Exodus 33, the first part of verse 11. Thus the Lord used to speak to Moses face to face as one speaks to a friend. Isn't today's reading about not face-to-face? Except there's this little verse right before there. The Lord used to speak to Moses anyway. Here's a synopsis of one of those conversations. God promised Moses that everything would work out. Moses asked God, "Show me your glory, I pray." God said that no one could see the face of God and live, and God let Moses see his back. Or even more accurately translated, back parts. So how could Moses speak to God face to face but be in danger of dying if he saw God's face? And what did Moses actually see when God went past and showed Moses his back? How many get the Friday emails from the church? Just one? Anybody open it this week? Is there a picture ingrained on your mind that has been on the Sistine Chapel for a long, long time? See, Michelangelo had an idea, and likely based on Jerome's Latin translation of Exodus 33:23, that says that God showed Moses his backs. And so he painted on one part of the ceiling of the Sistine Chapel a picture of God showing his backs. Got the picture? You saw it on it. Now you're going to want to open up that email. Because that picture is going to be in your mind. And you're going to think about that picture the rest of the sermon. There you go. I wonder what the attitude of the conversation was, though. Everything will work out. Thank you, God, but can you please show me your glory? I don't think that would be safe for you, Moses, but I'll let you see a glimpse of my afterglow. No one can see my full glory and live. I'll pass by and give you a glimpse. That's the nice version. Or maybe it was Moses saying, "I know you well, and everything will be fine." Really? Okay, just protect my people too. Okay. And show me just how awesome you are. Really? You don't know how awesome I am? I want your glory. You can't handle my glory. I'll tell you what, I'll show you my glory. How about this? It's another possibility. And neither one is probably accurate, and I think the second one is funny. Maybe it's offensive, but it's funny too. And maybe the whole scene is meant to be funny and not super serious. Maybe not. question is, though, what can we learn from this scene that Michelangelo painted on the Sistine Chapel of God showing his backs? So starting from the beginning, before the reading, Moses and God spoke face to face, but no one can see God and live, and that doesn't make sense because the two are connected in the same reading. Not the way we broke it up, but in the same reading. I don't think that these verses are about no one can see God and live. And too often we take those verses and do that. I've heard preachers talk about you can't see God and live and make a theology out of that or make an entire sermon about how that's impossible and you shouldn't ever try or God is so great that he would kill you. None of that makes any sense. There's a phrase that occurs twice in the reading from today. Here it is. I know you by name. And then there's another instance where God says that he will make all his goodness pass before Moses and proclaim the name Yahweh. I am who I am. I will be who I will be. I will be what the future requires. All of those things contained in that name. And there's power in a name. The name of God is seen as so powerful that it should not be uttered. Today's reading, it's rendered as the Lord. The Lord passed by. Remember that all caps Lord? It's Yahweh with Adonai written on top because you can't say Yahweh. I know I'm saying it, but in Hebrew culture, you can't say Yahweh and you say Adonai instead. And it's often translated as Lord God. Or in our readings, remember, Lord with all caps. It's out of respect and awe for the name. And there's power in that name, but there's also power in being known by name. For God to say to Moses, I know you by name, describes something intimate and powerful at the same time. It says, I see you. Or, I pay attention to you. Or, we share a connection. Or, I get you. It's in Indian culture, in Hindu culture, it's namaste. The goodness in me sees the goodness in you. I recognize your value as you recognize mine. God says, I know you by name. It contains all of that connection. So there's a lot going on in this morning's reading. A lot going on before it, and there's a lot going on after it. There's stuff to snicker about, but I hope that you'll latch on to this part. This is an example to follow. So often, there's stuff in the Bible that's not an example to follow. I will bring that up regularly. This one, an example to definitely follow. God knows you by name. Know one another by name. God sees you. See one another. God pays attention to you. Pay attention to one another. God and you share a connection. Connect with one another. God gets you. Gets one another. And it doesn't mean that things will always go well. It doesn't mean that things will always be awful either. But it does communicate that presence, care, identification, attention, connecting, and getting are intimately connected to us on our faith, on any part of our life journey. It shows that we are all woven together in love. It shows that we are known by name. Amen.